Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hollywood and the silver screen just love the status of celebrity. And to show the power and entertainment that football has, we decided to list out some of the most famous players turned actors in Hollywood that football has produced. And we're going to bring this list to you with some excitement in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And today we have a very special day indeed, as we're going to talk about in this episode the entertainment and football and acting. The entertainment industry is broad and widespread, and technically anything that people can sit and enjoy and watching is in this class of entertainment. So sporting events to movies and TV and more are all included in the category of entertainment. Perhaps that's why it's so common that the fellows of football on the football field and our heroes throughout history have been big personalities and have been recruited by Hollywood and a small screen of television to act on their medias. But we thought it would be kind of a neat idea to review a list of some big-time football stars that also showed up on film and in other areas of entertainment, such as television. Now, some of the older films, you know, if we talk about old films, the original film, the first Hollywood flick, started way back in 1908, and it's considered to be the Count of Monte Cristo. Now, we don't think we had any football men in that one, but the history of seeing the pigskin heroes on the silver screen does go back quite a ways. We'll go back to the World War II, just after World War II era. Woody Strode, you know, quite a role in football as in the movies. Mr. Strode was one of the first black players to be on an NFL roster after the color barrier was broken after World War II. And he was a member of the LA Rams in 1946 and later the Calgary Stampeders of the CFL. And in his acting career, he received a sweet part in a little flick called Spartacus, opposite Kirk Douglas. Who remembers that one? Now, Woody was so good at the part that he was nominated for a Golden Globe Award. And he stayed in Hollywood spotlight too, as he would go on to appear in a number of westerns, including The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, The Professionals, and The Quick and the Dead, according to the footballbabble.com website. Jim Kimbrough was another great player. You may not remember him, but he was the second overall pick in the NFL draft way back in 1941. His services in the NFL never happened, though, as he, in the second incarnation of the AFL he was drafted into, he went and played for one of their franchises. The New York Americans had signed him before the NFL could get him. That league folded after the Pearl Harbor attack, and Kimbrough tried his hand at acting. The popularity of a good football name got him cast into starring in two westerns, and his Hollywood career, like most others, was then interrupted when he went off to fight for his country in World War II. But then he returned to play more football and become a member of the Texas House of Representatives in 1953. Now, Alex Karras, a great player for the Detroit Lions once upon a time, so good that he was a top name in the 1960s NFL. Now, he got a starring role in the 1980s in his role in the hit sitcom Webster, but his big break in Hollywood came on the silver screen about a decade earlier in his role as Mongo in the movie Blazing Saddles. You know, the great Mel Brooks, Gene Wilder was in that movie. And yes, Alex Karras was Mongo. Well, How about the Duke, John Wayne? Once was a pretty good football player for the USC Trojans. Many people don't know this. Besides of being one of the ton of son of a guns in westerns and military films, Wayne's size and toughness proved to be a big deal in the gridiron too. The stumbling block for his promising football career was an injury. The Duke shortly thereafter, after recovering, got a job working in the prop department of a local movie studios near USC, and he eventually was cast in some small parts and worked his way up to feature status after several years. And when you think of Westerns, who doesn't think of John Wayne? He jumps right up to the top of the list, and he was a football player before he was an actor. Now, how about some of the biggest stars the NFL has ever known? Is Jim Brown's name big enough? Well, the record books sure say so, and so did movie fans. Now, after setting the football world on fire with his talent on the field, both at Syracuse and with the Cleveland Browns, it was an easy connection when movie producers came calling to capture some of Mr. Brown's talent and popularity in Hollywood. Right at the height of his gridiron career with the Cleveland Browns, he retired without much warning while filming the movie The Dirty Dozen. Now, probably, he was helped in that decision when Brown's owner, Art Modell at the time, gave him an ultimatum to either play football or make movies. But Jim Brown had an easy decision as he went into the movies and had some big parts in other films such as Any Given Sunday, The Running Man, Mars Attacks, and 100 Rifles. And he served as a color commentator for the first six UFC pay-per-view events. Now, Burt Reynolds, whether you know it or not, was not always an actor. Yes, he played Paul Cruise in the original Longest Yard and even had a lesser role in the newer Longest Yard movie with Adam Sandler in it. But in real life, he was a promising halfback for the Florida State Seminoles back in the day. The injury took away his football career, but the talent he had in acting got him roles in movies, hits just like Smokey and the Bandit and more. Now, Mike Henry was a stud linebacker with the USC Trojans, and he moved into the NFL to play the same position in the early 1960s with the Pittsburgh Steelers. His fitness, Los Angeles connections, and talent earned him a chance to star as a famous vine swinger in three different Tarzan films in the 1960s. He also played Junior, the son of Jackie Gleason's Buford T. Justice in Smokey and the Bandit, right alongside Burt Reynolds that we just talked about. Now, Fred Williams had a pretty cool nickname on the football field, and when folks referred to him as the Hammer, this name was really fitful for him, too, because of his impactful hits as a defensive back on the NFL football field. Fred also got some roles in film later on, and one such movie he was in was, oddly enough, called Hammer. Now, Bubba Smith, there's a name that everybody recognized. He was a big man and was a beast on the field, both at Michigan State and with the Baltimore Colts and some other teams in the NFL. But he also played parts in some big-time movies at the box office. His role, I think, first that comes to my mind is when he played Moses Hightower in the Police Academy movie franchise. I believe there was like six different movies of Police Academy, and Hightower was in each one of them, with a great Bubba Smith playing that character. Merlin Olsen was best known as the defensive tackle of the Los Angeles Rams from 1962 to 76, making the Pro Bowl a whopping 14 times and eventually being enshrined into the Hall of Fame in Canton. Now, he also was a great NFL broadcaster for many seasons after his playing days. His acting, though, found him starring in the shows like Father Murphy and in lesser roles on the television show Little House on the Prairie. How many remember the name of Ed Marinaro? He was a pretty good back at Cornell when he became the first running back in NCAA history to rush over 4,000 career yards and led the nation in rushing in two different years, I believe 1970, 1971. And he was drafted and played in the NFL for teams like the Minnesota Vikings, the New York Jets, and the Seattle Seahawks. And it was even on the roster of Super Bowl squads, Super Bowl number 8 and 9 with the Vikings. And he later turned to acting, starring in such television shows as Laverne and Shirley and the Hill Street Blues. And Carl Weathers, a well-known actor who was in Happy Gilmore and also in the Rocky franchise of movies, playing Apollo Creed in, I believe, three or four of those great movies. And he's also an outstanding player on the football field with San Diego State in college. Now, Fred Dreyer, former number one pick of the New York Giants before making it the Pro Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams later on in his career. And after football, he started to hit TV series Hunter. hit from 1984 to 1991, and he had that starring role of Hunter. And he would later star in television show entitled Land's End, not as prominent as Hunter, but I really liked him in the movie role he played in the 1980s. A flick was called Death Before Dishonor, military movie. The great Fred Dreyer played in that one. Now, we've seen our share of appearances and careers in football turn actors in recent decades as well. You know, Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, is probably best known in more ways than one as being a large actor, big star in Hollywood. Right now, hit movie after hit movie, starting with The Scorpion King, all the way to The Tooth Fairy, Fast and Furious, a couple Jumanji films. Disney has him on a bunch of different films. I know he's going to be starring as Black Adam in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and he also just recently played in Jungle Cruise for the Disney franchise. But he was also a great football player, played in the CFL, I believe, and played for the University of Miami in college. Now, Terry Crews is known for his television roles on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and America's Got Talent as the host, and as well as some great movie roles in Adam Sandler's version of The Longest Yard. But Terry used to be a terror on a football field when he played for Washington's franchise in the National Football League. John Matuszak, the towering number one overall NFL draft pick, got his big break in a cult classic, The Goonies, when he portrayed Sloth. That character, you didn't even really recognize it was John Matuszak, and because he didn't really have his normal voice for talking and his normal face, as there's quite a bit of Hollywood makeup and the like on him to make him unrecognizable. But yeah, underneath all that prosthetics, that was John Matuszak playing that character in a very beloved film. Ed O'Neill, he played Hal Bundy in Married with Children, and more recently he was the patriarch in the hit sitcom Modern Family. And his characters always had some references to earlier football glory, but in reality he did play some football. He even started in the NFL as a linebacker with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the early 1960s for a very short NFL career. Mark Harmon, many don't know this, but he was a star quarterback at UCLA long before his days of starring in the NCIS and many other shows and films. And the list goes on and on with some great stars. And here's some more football players that had spots in movie and TV that we're going to mention. And, you know, there's even more that we could mention. But here's some of them. You know, Joe Namath had the movie CC and Company, and on television, The Joe Namath Show, which was very popular. Brian Bosworth, there's a lot of different commercials and spots in TV shows, but The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, he was in that one. Lyle Alzado, television and Learning the Ropes was his TV show he had there. Bob Golic was on the Saved by the Bell, the College Years series. Rosie Grier, he's most famously playing himself on The Simpsons, but he was in 70 other different acting parts in television shows over the 1970s and 1980s. O.J. Simpson, famous for his roles in the Naked Gun series. Sam J. Jones, he played Flash Gordon in the 1980s hit. Fran Tarkington, how about the TV show That's Incredible after his playing days? And Bo Jackson, well, he was on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and on the Lois and Clark Superman series that was on TV back a couple decades ago. Clay Matthews Jr. and some other of the Green Bay Packers were in Pitch Perfect 2 and even got to show off their singing prowess, singing with the characters on that great movie. Now, we could go on and on, and maybe we will revisit it again sometime in the near future, but the main thing is that when players aren't playing, some of them have some other skills that transfer to our everyday entertainment, and we're just glad that we could bring these to you in kind of a fun way to look at our football players in another light, and as we see them on the silver screen and on the small screen in our living rooms. We're sure glad that you could spend this part of your day with us here talking about some great football history and reminiscing a little bit. We do this each and every day. Hope you'll join us tomorrow for more. And don't forget, about four times a week, we also have the Sports Jersey Dispatch, where we talk about other greats in sports history through their jerseys and the gear that they wore. Also, Sports History Network is a great place to find over 27 different podcasts on sports history from all genres, all eras, all sports. And there's hundreds of listening hours there for the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, so make sure you check that out too at sportshistorynetwork.com. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.